Discipling is not pointing at yourself, but pointing to Him. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life with Steve Brown, a program designed to make a positive difference in your daily life. Now open your Bible and let's go to it. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 and 2 Samuel as we continue with our Old Testament survey. And we are taking some time to look at the three main characters in these two books. This is a part of an Old Testament survey, by the way. We're spending 2 or 3 weeks on each of the books of the Old Testament because the Old Testament is so very important for Christians. There isn't a bad God in the Old Testament and a good God in the New Testament. That's heresy. And it comes from the pit of hell and it smells like smoke. You say, well, other than that, what do you think about it? Actually, the Bible, the Old Testament, has so much about grace and love and God's kindness and His long-suffering. And you ought to be aware of the major truths of the Old Testament. At any rate, we're taking our time with each of the characters of these two books, 1 and 2 Samuel. That's where we're to in our Old Testament survey. Samuel and Saul and David. And if you were listening yesterday, we started, and we're going to talk more about it today, looking at how Samuel was called into the service of God. Now, if you have your Bible, open it to the 3rd chapter of 1 Samuel. And the text reads as follows. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he couldn't see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered him, "Here I am," ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, do you call me?" And he said, "I didn't call you, lie down again." And he went out and he lay down. And the Lord again said, "Samuel." So Samuel rose, went to Eli, and said, "Here I am. You called me?" He answered, "I didn't call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again and said the 3rd time. Then he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, son, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. You see what's going on here? We see an old man taking a young man and pointing the young man to God. That's what discipling is. I said yesterday that I didn't much like the word discipling. People are always asking me, "Steve, would you disciple me?" And I always wince when people do that because it gives the impression, as I said yesterday, there will be a lot of little Steve Browns running around. That's scary. That'd be a curse on the body of Christ. But I'm willing to do that sort of thing in the sense that I'm willing to always point them to God. I remember a dear friend of mine, a man who had come to this country as a missionary from China. And I loved him a lot, and I asked him to disciple me one time. I said, would you be my pastor? And I'll never forget what he said. "No, God will be that for you." He did the right thing. I remember another man that I loved a lot, and I had him on my altar, and I worshipped him. And one day he showed me his sin, and it was a bad sin, and it absolutely devastated me. I mean, I couldn't believe this happened. And he said, "I wanted to show you that because if you put your eyes on me, you're going to get into a lot of trouble." Discipling is necessary, but discipling is nothing more and nothing less than constantly pointing in another direction, pointing to Jesus. And what happens is when they can't see Jesus, you keep pointing and you keep telling them. And when they can finally see Jesus for themselves, the process comes to an end, and you join hands as brothers or sisters, and you walk with Him together. You know what my prayer is? Pretty good prayer. "Lord, help them to see how good You are before they find out how bad I am." Is that a good prayer. That's a good prayer. Lord, help them to see how good you are before they find out how bad I am. Now, before I move on to the next point, let me pause just a moment, because I know the kind of letters that I'm going to get. Are you saying, Steve, you're saying, are you saying, Steve, that you're so bad that you ought not even be a witness or a discipler or an example to anybody? No, I'm not saying that. I'm better than I was. I've been walking this a long time. I've learned some truth. I'm more obedient than I was. But you need to know that Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, that's a good statement, but it also implies, or he would not have had to say it, that there were times when he was not following Christ. So the prayer stands, and it's a good prayer. Lord, help them to see how good you are before they see how bad I am. Now, turn to your Bible, if you will, to 1 Samuel 8, 4 through 22. The text reads this, then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, look, you're old and your sons don't walk in your ways. Now make for us a king to judge us like all the other nations. Now remember, Samuel was the last of the judges and there was no king in Israel. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now, therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them, and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. Now, for those of you who are politically conservative, who are anti-statist, if you will, you'll like this text. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to do his horsemen, and some will run before his chariot. He will appoint captains over his thousands, captains over his 50, will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and your olive groves and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and his servants. He will take your men servants and your maid servants and your finest young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep and you will be his servants, and you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourself, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. I ought to give you pause for thought. Nevertheless, and this blows me away, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice, make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go to his city. I don't know about you, but it's important to see here, and there are a lot of things. As I read that text, all kinds of things came to my mind when I read that text. The weirdness of human beings, for instance. I mean, Samuel told him what was going to happen. He said, it's going to be bad if you take this way. If you go in this direction, you're going to be in trouble. And they said, we're still going to do it. I was a pastor for a lot of years, and sometimes I'd say, Lord, I feel like I'm standing on this cliff, and I'm telling people, don't get so close to that cliff, because you're gonna fall. And that's what I did. I would say, don't do that. You're gonna fall over that cliff. And they would say, you're so wise. And then they jump. and then somebody else would come up the cliff. I'd say, hey, look at all that blood down there. You shouldn't play that close to the cliff, because you're going to get hurt, And they would say, oh, Pastor, you're so wise. Thank you for telling us that. And then they'd jump. Now I go back to the Lord. This is exactly what Samuel did. I go back to the Lord and I say, Lord, they're not doing anything I say for them to do. I tell them not to play close to the cliff, and they keep jumping. Lord, I tell you to keep them from jumping. Just make them responsible. And that's exactly what Samuel did. And then when I read this text, I also see how all-pervasive power can be. You get a king, or you get a government, man, and I'll tell you, power doesn't get smaller, it gets bigger. Pretty soon it takes over everything and corrupts everything. So you got to be careful the power that you give to people. That's why if you read the Federalist Papers or if you read our Constitution, there are limits to power. That would be wise. Because if you don't limit power, it'll take over everything. But the main thing I want to show you in this particular text is some things about Samuel, and I'm gonna do that tomorrow. But for now, you remember, power corrupts. Absolute power always corrupts completely. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen up. I got this deal for you. I told you about it last week. I want to tell you again. So get a piece of paper and a pencil out. I've worked out a thing with Christianity Today magazine so you can get 7 issues of that magazine absolutely free, no strings attached, no billing, no automatic renewal. Now, at the end, they're gonna ask you to renew, but you can just say no. There won't be any manipulation. But you get 7 free issues, and all you got to do is let me know. And we'll make sure that your name and address gets to Christianity Today outside of Chicago, and then you'll start receiving the magazine. It's free. You can't beat this. Now, let me know, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, you can call 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Midland, Florida, 32794, or you can write Key Life, Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. Now, since I worked this deal out for you, it seems to me that you ought to be willing to help us financially. No, I'm just kidding. I know some of you can't. But if you can, be as generous as you can. And you can charge your own MasterCard Visa Discover card and include a contribution in your envelope. I would appreciate it. For any contribution of any size when you request it, I'll send you along as my thank you for that teaching needing the temptation. Gotta go. Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.